Welcome to Buckets in the 503. I'm your host, Nawan Thompson. I'm here with Curtis Williams.
Welcome back for another episode. We got Jed Tye back again. We're going to go over the 2027 Prep Hoops player rankings. Welcome back, Jed.
Curtis, Nawan, thanks a lot for having me back again.
You know, this class is pretty tough, very guard-heavy, very deep class, and must have been pretty hard making these rankings, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you know, this one was one I definitely turned over to my guy who helps me out with the younger classes and let him do some analysis on this. But yeah, it's, you know, you have a lot of kids who are guards, backcourt players. We got a couple of big guys mixed in there as well, but I think it's really difficult to really truly differentiate. I mean, a lot of these guys all bring different things to the table for sure, but it's a talented group. You know, a number of these guys already have Division I offers, which is pretty special. It's not that common in recent years for guys going through junior years, especially multiple guys from one class having scholarship offers. So it's a pretty tough task from what I heard.
Yeah, and definitely one thing, once we get into the top 10, one thing that all these players have in common is that they all were either first or second team All-League as sophomores. And we also have three finalists for Gatorade Player of the Year as sophomores, too. So we'll get into each kid's individual accolades. And then we'll also talk about a few kids outside of the top 10 that are to keep an eye on and that might crack the top 10 this year.
All right, so let's get into it. At the number one position, brand new to the number one spot this year is Braylon Gaines. Braylon has a great accolade, already has 1,000 points scored in his high school career, led Nelson, started their tradition over there at the brand new school, and was first team all conference. Curtis, talk a little bit more about Braylon.
Braylon, if he stopped playing high school basketball today, would probably already have a better career resume than 99% of people in high school basketball. As a freshman at Nelson, he led the state in assist. And then as a sophomore, he, I think, led the state in scoring or one of the top two scorers in the state. So the only thing that he's missing on his resume really is a child center run. And so this past spring and summer, he played for Northwest Royal Rebels, got a chance to play on the EYBL circuit, and also picked up his first D1 offer at Portland State.
Yeah, you know, Braylon, extremely talented player, you know, tremendous athlete. You know, he's also the quarterback on the football team, so that says a lot about his level of athleticism when it comes to Division I athletics. And just a great point guard. You know, it's always tough to throw around comparisons, but a guy I immediately thought of, like you mentioned, Curtis, he led the state in assists, and then this past year led in scoring. It's kind of some Trey Young action there, could possibly lead the state in scoring and assists. He's got the ball in his hands a lot. You know, a guy who really knows how to get to the basket and also has the ability to draw fouls. I mean, if you look at his stats, he has more free throws made than field goals made. I mean, he just gets to the line. And it's really big time when you have a player like that who's able to, you know, first of all, be able to get to the basket as much, but then be able to draw contact and get the foul call and get to the line. So he's a special player, as you mentioned. You know, PSU's already offered him a scholarship, and I think there's more to come. You know, he's got Western Oregon as well and lots of other Division I schools talking to him.
You know, led the state in scoring with 21.5 points, was sixth in the state in assist at 5.9, but also top 10 in steals as well, coming up with almost 3 steals per game. So a little bit of everything that you look for in a point guard, and that's why he is the number one ranked player in the Prep Hoops rankings. Coming up at number 2, the former number one ranked player, Isaac Bongan, who just transferred over to Central Catholic, had a great run at the Child Center last year, a very special run, was second team all tournament last year. Curtis, talk a little bit about Isaac.
Actually, it was first team all tournament. First team all tournament, finished second place in the state last year. Jesuit went on a nice run, transferred and took his talents to Central Catholic. Everybody's been on about Isaac Bongan since he was in middle school. A huge name in this area. Also, along with Braylon, played for Northwest Rotary Rebels this past spring and summer. So the future's still bright for him. He's talking to a lot of schools, has a couple offers from UOP and Portland State, but also talking to Oregon State, among a few other schools. And so Isaac looks to take his talents to Central Catholic and help try to lead them to a state championship this year. He's definitely improved three-point shooter, and we already know all about his athleticism. I mean, what would you like to see from him this year, Jed?
You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, Central Catholic is loaded, right? They've got a ton of really good, talented players. There's going to probably be a 7-8-man rotation. Of course, Isaac will be in that mix. It'll be interesting to see just how he adjusts to a new system. I know it's going to be a little more player-oriented, a little less structure going on at Central Catholic, so he'll be able to get up and down the floor a lot. Probably the best athlete in this class. And as you mentioned, Curtis, you know, he's become a dead-eye three-point shooter. He showed that in the state tournament last year. It's really interesting, you know, and as far as, you know, rankings go, he's nationally ranked by ESPN, but yet in this list, he's at number two. But, you know, honestly, I think we'll talk about it as we go along. You know, it's really a toss-up here with a lot of these top kids. You could probably flip-flop all year long who's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, that's a really deep group. And, you know, Isaac, extremely talented. I think a lot of things right now are based largely on his potential as a prospect. But, yeah, I think he's bound to have a big year. It's just going to be interesting to see just how things stack up because it's a deep club there at Central Catholic.
Yeah, very deep team there over at Central Catholic. You know, we'll see how Isaac fares in that type of system over there. You know, with the one and the two, Braylon has a really good high school accolades, whereas Isaac is nationally ranked. But it's really tough to deny someone who's already a 1,000-point scorer going into his junior year, even though Isaac does have tons of potential. His athleticism is off the charts, probably the best in the class, and he has improved three-point shooting. So it'll be fun to see him this year over at Central Catholic, wishing Isaac nothing but the best over there.
And then coming in at number three, before I mention this name, just to keep in mind, when these rankings are done, it's just not one person's opinion. So, like, people are tons of coaches are text messaging, ask their opinion, college coaches, high school coaches. And so this particular class, there's been multiple guys who were receiving number one and number two votes as the player in their class. And so coming in at number three, we have R.J. Barham. Speaking of R.J., we forgot about this about Braylon, but Braylon was a Gatorade finalist player of the year last year, and so was R.J. Barham from Clackamas. So I know he's looking to expand on his game this year and have a bigger year. Isaac being one of the top 10 teams in the state with a transfer in Sirius Owens. What do you think about R.J.'s game, Jed?
Big time shooter, right? He's had that reputation ever since he was young. Comes on in, you know, he's a guy who can pull up from the logo and hit some threes, right? Just tremendous range, college shooting ability. He's got size at 6'4". He's long. He's got the potential to, you know, get stronger and quicker, more athletic. Even though he's pretty fairly athletic as it is, he's really improved. After the summer, I think he's really improved in terms of his ability to get to the basket and finish. And then also continue to improve on his decision-making, right? I mean, I think he's the kind of guy who's got the ability to actually swing over and play some point guard. It just has to kind of change the mentality a little bit. But just a tremendous competitor. You know, he's about winning. And, yeah, I think we're gonna see some big numbers again from him this season.
Tremendous shooter, has no conscience out there when he's pulling up from wherever he wants to, always trying to rip your heart out. With those threes, can definitely go on a run at any point in time. Last year, averaged 21.3 points per game, and also, you know, was the leader in amount of threes taken and made per game. So, you know, you can never discount someone like that who's going to be a lights out shooter, can get hot at any point in time. And, you know, over the summer, he's definitely improved his game, the ability to use his shot making to make him be able to get to the basket as well. And those hesitation and pump fakes are definitely going to come in handy this season.
RJ, this past spring and summer, played with the Cascade Kings. He also picked up his first D1 offer from Portland State. Has been talking to schools like Idaho State, Eastern Washington, Stanford, and Yale. So his future is also bright, and so we'll see what happens with his recruiting process as he tries to follow in the steps of his sister, who's going to be a freshman this year at the University of Oregon. So definitely look forward to see how RJ Games blossoms this year. Next up we have, this is probably a name that a lot of Portland people don't know, but you definitely know his dad, Gavin Lunan. Gavin Lunan is from Ridgeview High School. His dad was Marty Lunan, the ex-former Oregon Duck. So Gavin Lunan, I saw him this year at the Portland State Power Hour. He picked up his first offer. I mean, can we expand on his game a little bit, Jed?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Gavin is a growing kid. He's probably 6'7", almost 6'8", I would guess. I don't know. Marty could probably really inform us exactly what his
Six
true height
six.
is. 6'6" right
Yeah, six
now?
six.
Okay. Yeah, he's up there. I mean, he can play big, but he's also, just like his father, a very versatile player. He can step out and shoot the ball, create off the dribble. You know, obviously there's going to be a lot of comparisons to his dad. His dad was a big time rebounder, was, you know, a very versatile player, could bring the ball up the floor. I mean, he's not his dad, right? That's kind of unfair to compare. But there's a lot of good genetics that was passed down to Gavin. Very skilled player, extremely competitive. I think he's got an extremely high ceiling. You know, he's got that offer from Portland State already, and yeah, and he's got his dad as his coach, right? So it's really fun to see. You know, for me personally, Marty Lunin was a guy I covered back in the early 2000s when he led Redmond to the state title in 2003, and now getting an opportunity to cover his son kind of maybe sheds a little light on my age, but it's also just pretty cool to be able to cover both father and son.
Yeah, Gavin's a guy I had to do a little bit of research on, looked up some of his highlights, and you know, he seems to be a big who can shoot it, right? More of a stretch type of big, but can definitely shoot it. Looks like he has a good frame on him, can put on some weight as the years go by, and definitely a really good college prospect going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I also got to see Gavin Lunin at the Prep Hoops Showcase too, and he was first team all showcase, and he dominated and couldn't nobody really guard him. He also played AU basketball for Elite 24 this past spring and summer, and so we'll look to see what he does the next few years. He also just received an invite to the Pro Insight run that's going to be coming up soon. So we'll definitely see how he compares when he goes up against some other top players in Oregon and Washington. Next up at number five, right out of the top five, we have Elijah Thompson, the point guard from Southridge High School. You want to expand on his game, Jed?
Yeah, you know, Elijah Thompson, a great all-around point guard, can do it all. Can score. He's a really great shooter. He can get to the basket. He's improved his athleticism. He can finish at the rim now. Very unselfish. Plays of a high basketball IQ. Always looking for his teammates. Tremendous defensive player. You know, honestly, I don't think there really are too many holes in his game. He's just a great all-around performer. I fully expect him to have a huge junior year. He's going to be counted upon as the leader for a Southridge team that's going to be battling for a state championship and Metro League title. And I could totally see him being the leader of the team, even as a junior.
No, definitely. Expecting big things, you know. You talk about development inside of a program. I think Southridge's done a great job as a freshman, bringing him in to be a 3-and-D guy. Was third in state in 3-point shooting. And then last year, his job was to go out and facilitate. He was top 10 in assists, and actually number 6 in assists, and then number 10 in steals in the whole state. So really showing the versatility and just kind of doing what a team needs. And then going into this summer, you know, averaging 18 points a game to help Southridge this summer lead them and show this ability to score as well. So looking for big things this time, seeing that development every single year and being able to take on that load.
Yeah, and Elijah, like Nawan said, is going to increase his scoring load this year. This past spring and summer, he played for Idaho Select, was their starting point guard on the 16U team, led them to the quarterfinals of the final tournament, the Final Eight. And so we'll see what he does this year. And as he tries to get to the Child Center for the third year in a row, I know he's definitely been working hard, grinds 3, 4, 5 hours a day. And so his college recruiting is going to start to go up this year, and we'll see how Southridge and I mean, as he's eyeing to try to be Metro League Player of the Year this year. So at number six, we have Pat Villalva. Pat Villalva, first team All League in the at Tualatin last year in the Three Rivers League. Let's expand on his game, Jet.
You know, I've seen a lot of players over the years, and I would say in terms of a pull-up jumper, mid-range jumper, Junior Villalva probably has got one of the best I've seen. And you know, it's, again, I always think back to comparisons from the first time I was around the scene, but I think a lot about Dominic Waters at Grant and his ability to pull up from mid-range. It was just a great specialty, and Pat has that. It's not the only thing he can do, obviously. He's a real dog on defense. He has a tremendous motor. He just really takes on every single challenge defensively. And, you know, playing alongside Jermai Lake, he's a great complement. And, you know, he can play both on and off the ball. And, you know, his 3-point shooting has improved. And, yeah, he's just a great athlete. He plays football as well. And just a great athlete all around, point guard.
Yeah, Pat's a great player. You know, you talk about his mid-range shot, but he also was top 10 in 3-point percentage this year, top 10 in free throw percentage this year. So just a great all-around shooter and actually guards and competes, you know, every single possession. And so, you know, with him in mind that backcourt, looking for him to help Towalt and get back to the Child Center again.
Pat also plays football, so he has a lot of brings a lot of toughness. So that comparison to Dominic Waters brings back a lot of memories. That was my high school teammate my senior year. But Junior's definitely, with him and Jermai Lake this year, arguably one of the best backcourts in the state. I know they're trying to make a championship run this year. He also played for Northwest Legends, his dad's AU program, this past summer on the Puma circuit. And so we'll see how he does the next year and a half, 2 years, and keep track of his recruiting and how he evolves this year. Next up at number 7, we have Eli Hopkins. Eli Hopkins goes to Oregon City High School, 6'6", small forward. Let's expand on his game, Jay.
Yeah, this is a kid I think is up there. I mean, he's definitely got some production, but is also a ton of potential, right? Because he's a very good athlete. He can really get to the basket and finish above the rim. He's a versatile offensive player who can hit some outside shots, but also get to the basket. You know, right now, kind of a little more on the skinny side, but he can definitely has the frame to put on more weight and continue to get tougher. He's going to be a real key guy for Oregon City this year. I think that's a team that a lot of people may be sleeping on in terms of being a state tournament threat, but he's going to be a real key guy up front for them.
No, definitely going to be a key guy for Oregon City. Should be the man over there this year. You know, I'm really high on Eli Hopkins. I think he has all the attributes to be a really good 3-and-D type of player at that next level. He's a knockdown 3-point shooter from what I saw this summer, as long as he's in the catch and shoot range. He's also a lob threat anytime for the back door. So, you know, he has some things that he needs to work on still, but I think his potential is really high for the coming years.
With all that being said about potential, Eli still was first team all league in the Three Rivers League last year. Hit along with Gillen Payne. They barely lost in the game to go to the Child Center to Sprague, who ended up finished fourth in the state. And so he'll definitely have a huge role this year. This past spring and summer, Eli teamed up with Elijah Thompson on the Idaho Select team. So we'll definitely keep track of his recruiting process to see how he continues to develop. I mean, that just gives you an idea how things can change in a year. I mean, because a year ago at this time, nobody really knew Eli Hopkins was. And so now a year later, he played for Idaho Select. Now he's top 10 player in the state, first team all league, and now he's on college radars. So a lot of times when you put out these rankings, there's going to be a lot of kids who are frustrated that they're not seen on the list or not getting enough credit they should be. But a lot can change in 12 months or 9 months, 6 months, really, you know. So that's definitely a guy with one of the higher ceilings in the state. Got a chance to see him at Border League, and he had an explosive game. One of the games that I was at when they played against a prep school, and looked like a big-time prospect at that game. Next up, at number 8, we have Riggy Kyungra, one of the most dynamic guards in the state. Let's expand on his game. State championship Riggy from LaSalle High School.
That is right. State championship ring holder Riggy Kyungra, one of the most exciting players in all of Oregon high school basketball. He's just a joy to watch. He's so quick. He's so shifty with his handle. Can get to the basket. Has an advanced layup package for a smaller guard to score over people. I mean, and then when he gets hot from 3-point range, I mean, you can't stop this guy. I mean, he's just a flat out scorer. You know, again, I'm gonna throw a little comparison in there again. Maybe it's a little unfair because, you know, we're talking about one of the all time great small guys, but there's a little bit of Jeremiah Dominguez in him. You know, just a small little guy who can just really dominate a game just as from the point guard position. The key for Riggy, I think, is as a college prospect, is to develop more as a point guard and really look for his teammates. You know, he really relied upon Paul Squirrel. Last year, Paul Squirrel led all of 5A in assists. And so this year, it's going to be interesting because he doesn't have as many talented teammates alongside him. Scoro's gone. Aiden Kelly's gone. Vance Sheffield, you know, soccer player of the year, is gone as well. He was a big piece of the team. So Riggy is probably going to be counted upon to score like 30-something points a game. So I'm not sure some of that point guard development is going to necessarily happen this year. But I do think that's something he has the potential to do. He just needs the opportunity.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, Riggy's scoring ability. Last year, he was second in the class of 5A in scoring, scoring 23.5 points per game, which is more than anybody in 6A. He also was one of the top free throw percentage guys, and also one of the steal leaders as well, averaging almost 3 steals per game. So, you know, Riggy's definitely scoring. He's definitely one of those highlight players that you love to go see and love to go watch, and it's going to be exciting watching what he does now at LaSalle, that he's going to basically take over the reins down there and be the point guard and the two guard, really, over there at LaSalle this year.
Earlier in the year, I think it was our second episode, we had Coach Kelly on the podcast, and he said Riggy's the best player he's ever coached. So that's high praise coming from Kelly. So, I mean, Riggy this past spring and summer played with Cascade Kings, got a chance to learn how to develop into a point guard a little bit, but he also had huge games. I mean, there was a game where he had 35 this summer versus a team that had 3 D1 players on it, and he actually and won the game, you know. So, and also a high academic kid. So Riggy, with his grades and his talent, will probably have a chance and probably get a couple of NAI and D2 opportunities. So we'll definitely keep track of Riggy and how he does this year. I mean, his scoring numbers by the end of his career is probably going to be closer to, you know, 1,600 to 2,000 points. Coming up at number 9. We have Muhammad Carter, the 6'8 power forward from Wales High School, arguably one of the most talented kids in the state, of regardless of class. Can you expand on his game a little bit, Jed?
Yeah, you know, Muhammad Carter, in terms of just raw ability combined with size, is an incredible prospect. I think some of the question is how much does he really want it, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who has the ability to come down and dunk on every single possession. I mean, he's a high flying act who could easily average a double-double in his sleep. I mean, I think he's going to have a big year. He decided to stay at Wells instead of transferring, which I think is big for that program and that community. And, you know, sometimes you just see the fire out of him, and he's going to drop 30 points and 15 rebounds and block 6 shots. I mean, he's got that type of ability. It's just a question of, consistency and being able to do that on a nightly basis to some level. But yeah, he's just an incredible prospect. Physical tools are all there.
Yeah, Muhammad's probably the most gifted player in the class, just natural gifts. He has the size, the athleticism, and the ability to do anything he wants on the court. The question for him is always, you know, his motor, how hard he's going to go. And, you know, is he going to care every single possession to will himself to that win? Once that turns on for him, like, he's one of those kids you can easily see going from 10 to number 1 if he puts in that type of work. So definitely excited to see what he does over Wells this season. I know Southwest plays them first game of the season, so we'll hopefully he'll take a little bit while to get that rust off. But we wish him nothing but the best as the season goes.
And last spring and summer, Muhammad was also on the same team as Braylon Gaines and Isaac Bonga on the Northwest Rotary Rebels. Was also a second team All-PIL player last year. Along him and probably Sirius Owens were probably led the state in dunks last year. He had a couple monster poster dunks. So you'll definitely probably see him trending on social media a lot this season. And so just like we all said, I mean, Muhammad has a tremendous upside as long as he takes care of his business in the classroom and continues to work hard. I mean, he has a really high ceiling, you know, so we'll just see how much of the potential he reaches. Now, rounding out our top 10, another dynamic guard, Keon Gates, the 6'2 combo guard, former Grant High School player, now at Park Rose, is Keon Gates. Expand on his game a little bit, Jed.
Yeah, Keon Gates is another player that's really fun to watch. I mean, he just flat out knows how to score. He has a sweet jumper from the outside, especially from the corners and the wings, and he can really so quick get to the basket and score over people. Here's another guy who, you know, probably he's grown quite a bit. I think he's about 6'2 now, so he's really gotten some height, but how much of a point guard can he be, right? As far as the college level goes, he's not the strongest guy. He's really athletic, but he's not the strongest guy. Put on some weight, but what is his mentality going to be in terms of distributing? It's going to be really interesting this year just at Park Rose to see how they do it with him and Fuzzy in the backcourt. I think Keon does have the ability to play both with the ball and without the ball in his hands. So, but yeah, one of the more dynamic scorers in this class for sure.
Definitely a dynamic scorer. He can go ahead and score any which way he wants, can pull up with the jumper, and really just plays creative and free. He's one of those guys that if you're having to work out and you have a bunch of cones, he's not going to look that good. But you put the ball in his hands and put some competition in front of him, and all of a sudden he turns into an all-star. He just loves to compete and go out and play hard every single possession, and just loves to go score. You can tell he has actual joy when he plays the game. So it's going to be fun to watch him over there at Park Rose this year. I think he's going to have a little bit of freedom over there to kind of play a little bit and play his style of game. So that's going to be exciting to watch him and Fuzzy over there in the backcourt.
Yeah, with the 5A boasting their talent, it's going to be a really exciting game when especially when you see Keon Gates and Reed go at it, because they're probably the two of the most exciting guards to watch as far as with the ball in their hands. Also, Keon Gates, another first team All-League player last year in the PIL. Nice run. Everybody remembers his breakout year, his freshman year, when they made that comeback versus Roosevelt at the Chiles Center. And so I know he probably thinks he should be ranked higher because I know him pretty well. So we'll see what happens this year. I know the Park Rose is gunning for the 5A state championship this year, and so Keon Gates is definitely a name. If they do win the state championship, he's going to be one of those guys that plays a huge impact and potentially be an all-state guy this year.
And that rounds out the top 10 list for the 2027 class. Jed, are there some guys that aren't in the top 10 that you think, are deserving or will probably move up as the season goes on?
Yeah, absolutely. A name that let's start off with right away is a name that's relatively new to Oregon. He grew up and played in Vancouver for Mountain View High School, but he's at Central Catholic this year as a transfer first year. That's Malcolm Witherspoon, 6'2" guard, high motor, super athletic, can really get to the basket, finish above the rim, can step out and hit threes as well. I think he's kind of an unknown. So I think it was some shyness about tossing him right into the top 10, but lots of natural ability. Again, he's going to be playing on a very balanced Central Catholic team, but he's going to be right there in the rotation, and there's going to be some games where he leads the team in scoring. I expect to see a big year out of Malcolm.
Yeah, definitely. Malcolm is an exciting player in Vancouver last year at Mountain View. As a sophomore, he was a first team all league and at the point guard position. So he'll have to adjust his game a little bit. And the Washington rankings, I think he's pretty underrated. I think they didn't have him in the top 25. A lot of that being with him being in Vancouver, sometimes it's hard to get beat out some of the guys in the Seattle area when it comes to the rankings and things like that. So he definitely was under the radar in Washington. So I could definitely see him making the top 10 with his athletic ability. It's just going to be where he picks his spots and if he'll get a chance to actually have some moments at the point guard position. I know we all see Malcolm play. I mean, you've been around him before, Nawan.
Yeah, Malcolm's a dynamic athlete, right? Very good defender as well. I think over there at Central, we'll see how many shots he actually gets to take playing over there with that loaded group over there. But I think he's going to make an impact on the defensive end and then also be able to get out and get some highlight plays as well. So he's still a guy that you got to look out for, and he's definitely going to be on the scouting report no matter where he's at on the court. But one of those things is what school you go to and what type of reps you get at that school is going to determine how colleges and stuff see you. And so for Malcolm, I think that's a big part of it, but I think he can still make a huge impact over there at Central Catholic, especially on the defensive end and just with some highlight plays as well.
A name that I think they may be able to crack the top 10, AZ Bro. AZ was new to Oregon this past season, coming from California, went to Centennial High School. Was first team all league last year in their league, and he's took his talents from Centennial to Wilsonville, and definitely a huge culture shift from going from Centennial to Wilsonville. I'm hearing he's 6'6" now, but he also got hurt in the summer, so he broke his legs. So we didn't get a chance to see him in summer league or in July. He didn't play you in July either, so he's coming off an injury, but he's on a team that's gonna be one of the top five teams in 5A coming in, and a team that's huge with size. I mean, they have 6'9", 6'7", and with him at 6'5", 6'6", he's probably going to be playing the two or the three over there. And so he actually has a chance to make the top 10 and be one of the highest recruited kids in this class by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, lots of natural ability. I mean, he's 6'6", he's super long and athletic, plays above the rim, can get streaky from the three-point line as well. Again, it'll be interesting to see, like you mentioned, Curtis, he's going to a very structured system. But, you know, head coach Chris Roche does give certain guys some freedom if you prove you're worthy of it. The last couple of years of Cole Hammack and then the year before that, Callan Guthridge, you know, they'd run their stuff for 25 seconds and hand off to a guy to just freelance and get a bucket. And I think AZ is the type of talent that has the ability to do that. It'll just be interesting to see just how that all that shapes up.
Most definitely. I think going and playing in a structured system like Wilsonville is actually going to help his overall game and basketball IQ, learning how to play in a structure. And so I think that's going to help him develop. And then as, you know, Roche gets to know him a little bit, you know, he'll let him freelance a little bit more and show his ability, which might help them make that huge run for state, as Wilsonville is always in the mix for that 5A championship. I have a couple of guys who I think, you know, have the ability to make the top 10, you know, as the season goes on. And one is Shea Thompson, who was second team All-League in the Metro, which is a huge honor considering last year the first team was all seniors. And so Shea over there at Sunset, they got their starting point guard back in Rocco, and I think he's due for a big season. 6'3", long, athletic, likes to use his size around the mid-range. Really good athlete. I know he's been working hard on his body this summer. And so it's going to be interesting to see how well he does this season over there in the Metro.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys in this class. You know, we could go down the list and, you know, you look at Alarian Scott at Oregon City. You know, he's grown up to about 6'6". He's been gaining some toughness by playing some football. He did really well at the Prep Hoop Showcase. You look at other guys, a name that's a little bit unknown, but who's a real tough cookie is Liam Ray, who is at North Medford. He's ready to step into a big role of a lot of the seniors graduating on that team. But Lefty, just a tremendous competitor and athlete. He's tremendous with his mid-range pull-up jumper as well, hitting the three. He's a guy to watch out for, as a little under radar. And also Elijah Gabriel at South Eugene is another guy who's under the radar, can play inside, outside. South Eugene, I'm guessing they're probably run offense that's going to run a lot and score a lot of points. And he's a type of guy who's going to put up some numbers.
Yeah, I got a couple more guys, too. I'd say probably Varick Hargis, another kid coming from Grant to go into Park Rose. You probably remember his brother, Vashon, who's at PCC right now. I'm hearing that Varick is 6'3", 6'4", now. So he's definitely be that guy that sometimes he doesn't always stand on the stat sheet, but he's a Swiss Army knife guy, can shoot the three, athletic, and dunk it. So he has a chance to move up in the rankings eventually and be a nice prospect. Also, KJ, Khalil Jackson, this is a name that a lot of people don't know, was at the prep school his first 2 years of high school. He's coming in to going to Jeff to help Rob Smaller rebuild. He has a chance to make an all-league team this year as a junior in the PIL. A stocky bulldog, athletic guy, only 5'10", 5'11", but he can get up there and dunk it on people. So we'll see how he does this year. You got Rashad Hudson, the point guard from Vincent this past year. Another similar to KJ, bulldog player, had a great WIPCA this past summer playing AU. He also is hearing from Idaho and Eastern Washington. And so that's another kid. You got, who else? You got Jackson Clark, a 6'10 kid from Oakland. That's about 4 hours away, a 2A school, but he's 6'10, can rebound, block shots. Anytime you're 6'10, you're going to get action at college. And then you also got a kid that just moved here from actually out the country. And Sebastian Larson, who's another 6'10 kid that moved here, that's going to Centennial High School this year. And I saw him play in Fall League and hit the corner three, rebound, things like that as the European game going. So there's tons of names out there that are all pretty similar. It's not like it's real slim when it comes to these rankings. I mean, a lot of these, especially when you get to, you know, 8 to 25, they're all, a lot of players are really, really close.
Yeah, this year is going to show a lot. You know, there's a lot of guys that are going to get upgraded roles this year. You know, you talk about Major Williams, who's probably going to be the starting point guard over a Jesuit, who didn't get too much, not as much run last year, but this year is going to be relied upon to be one of the key guys to help fuel Jesuit, who's always in the mix for a state playoff. Then you have someone like Rocco over at Sunset, who was injured most of last season, but now is coming back. He's healthy, and they have a big three over there that's going to be in contention. And then you have Avery Johnson, who's over at Sherwood, who played with Players Only, dynamic guard. He's over there dunking out. He's a bulldog over there, and he's going to have a huge role over there now being the upperclassman to help them. And then you have someone like Nico Kalish, who, you know, a lot of people don't know, but he had a big summer this season playing with the Cascade Kings, and also we know him playing with Southridge, led us in scoring in a couple games over at the Wicca, and he's going to have a huge role this season as well. So this is a huge year for a lot of guys now being upperclassmen, finally getting that role to be the main guy on their team, and we'll see how well they carry that role on their shoulders.
Yeah, and too, you know, you never know who might jump up from JV, right? Some of these, every year you got one or two guys that all of a sudden show up on the radar and they're like, who is this? I mean, I got a great example. I went to an open workout at Canby this morning and there was this 6'3 kid, they were calling Mo, and this kid was like dominating. And I'm like, who is this kid? And I asked the coach, he's like, oh yeah, he was on JV last year, played one game of varsity, Moses Barnett, and he's about 6'3, athletic, strong. He's going to be a contributor on a very extremely deep Canby team. And I was like, wow, you know, it's amazing how, you know, some guys were just going to pop out. Just they've been going the normal path of development through freshman, JV, and now going to varsity. So it'll be really interesting to see who shows up in that way.
It's a lot of guards in this class. But then you also got Madden Cummings, started last year for Barlow State Championship. So he's going to have a huge role this year. You got a few guys at Nelson High School. You got Jaden coming back with his third year playing varsity. Probably be in the starting lineup this year. You got Malachi Garlington, his first sports football, but he's a dynamic athlete. Started his high school career at Central Catholic, super athletic, and dunk it. Going to be one of they're counting on him to be an elite defender this year. And then you got another name that people know his dad, but may not know him yet. Cooper Day, the son of Robert Day, the Benson High School great Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame at the Western Oregon. And so I've seen him this fall. He looks pretty good. And so we'll just see how it plays out this year. I mean, the one common trait for everybody that's in the top 10, they already had huge roles as sophomores. So all those guys were already all league outside of Isaac, but Isaac was first team all tournament. You know, so, I mean, just we'll see how it goes. I mean, everything evolves as we go through the high school career.
There's a ton of guys in this 2027 class that I'm interested to see how they develop going into this year. You know, a lot of guys with that's just going to get bigger roles. You know, you talk about Elijah Schmidt is who I'm thinking of over in Sprague, a little shooter, you know, came out last year, knocked down a lot of big shots. He's one guy who could really help that team as they lost a ton of seniors over there. So his role is going to improve greatly. Blake Unruh over at Beaverton, he's going to have a huge role this year alongside Ahmed Abayo. Those two, you know, coming back one more year of experience playing varsity, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they do. And another kid, Rogan Brown over at Mountainside, another Swiss Army knife, does a little bit of everything, about 6'3", 6'4", over at Mountainside. You know, they're always a tough place to play at. And so it'd be interesting to see his development, what has happened over the summer going into his junior year as well.
I mean, there's a ton of shooters. Before we round out the episode, you also got Blake Carman, a lefty from Wales. He's probably the best shooter in the PIL. Saw him in the Summer League have a 20-point game versus Central Catholic, first game of Summer League. I see him knocking down shots all spring and summer with the Cascade Kings. They got a 6'8 big named Adam Walking Horse from Century High School. So, I mean, there's a lot of shooters, a lot of depth, and there's a lot of bigs that will probably be late bloomers. You got Lane Isham, a 6'8 shooter from Sprague. He's gonna have a huge role this year as they graduated a lot of seniors last year. And so as you go through the process of the season, you'll see a lot of names pop up and come and go. And it's just a deep guard class, you know. And so tons of shooting in this class too.
Yep. Great, great deep class. You know, a lot of guys who were thrown to the fire at a very young age. So they're already, you know, getting a lot of accolades and doing things, already scoring 1,000 career points, just like Braylon Gaines. But yeah, it's a really deep group. I would argue it's a better group than 2026 as a whole in terms of college potential. It's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, and then you have the football players who probably don't get as much love as they should, but are big time players. You know, you got Jordan Rosetta, who you know was the only sophomore, someone who was in the actually the only non senior, I should say, that was top 10 in reboundings last year. So can only imagine how many boards he's going to pull down this year for Grants Pass out there. And then you got someone like Jake Brockmiller over in Canby, who's going to help them immensely in their quest to be state champions over in Canby. So a lot of great talent in this class. And with that said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Buckets in the 503. Jed, we appreciate you coming on the pod and coming in with these rankings. It's always good water cooler talk. If you do have questions, concerns about the rankings and how we come up with it, feel free to drop us a line online at Buckets at the 503. Curtis.
Yeah, on Instagram, if you see a player that you think's being slept on when the rankings come out, definitely drop a message. But just keep in mind, you know, there's tons of guys in the NBA that weren't ranked, let alone kids going to college at the NAIA D2, D3, D1 level, you know. So it's impossible to get it 100% right. But, you know, the main thing is keep working, keep grinding, and be prepared for your season, you know.
Yeah, and like I've said from the last time, our last podcast, these are just a snapshot in time because there were a ton of changes from the last time these were done, and there's going to be lots of changes again. So, you know, this just happens to be where you're at. You know, maybe you don't like where you're at. You know, use it as motivation. Maybe you don't like where you're at, you know, and don't care, you know. You can treat it any way you want. But ultimately, there's going to be a lot more changes. This is just, we're talking about just going into the junior year. So there's still plenty more updates that are going to be coming.
Absolutely. So look for those. And that'll do it for this week's episode of Buckets in the 503. We want to have everybody stay locked in, stay working, and as always, keep your buckets up in the 503.